Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I want to read you a verse of Scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This is 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. The Apostle Paul writes, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Isn't that a wonderful verse of Scripture? The simplicity that is in Christ. This morning, I want us to see the simplicity that is in Christ, the simplicity of the gospel. And our text is going to come from Psalm 126. If you have a Bible, you can turn with me to Psalm 126. The gospel is not an invitation. Did you know that? The gospel, the true gospel, the one and only true gospel. Paul told the Galatians, there's not another. The one and only true gospel is not an invitation. The gospel is a declaration. That's what it is. It is a declaration. God's gospel is a declaration of the truth concerning the salvation of sinners. It's not up for debate. It's not something that we debate. It's a truth that cannot be altered. And as preachers of the gospel, our calling is not to set forth our opinion on it. That's not what God has called us to do. Our calling is not to open up a discussion on it. Our calling is to repeat the declaration. And here it is. Psalm 126, verse 3 says, "The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." That's the gospel. That's the declaration. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. The gospel begins with the Lord. This truth that we declare, it begins with the Lord Jehovah. There is a God in heaven who is seated on His throne, doing as He will with whom He will. Let me show you that in Daniel chapter 4. If you'll turn with me over to Daniel chapter 4. Verse 30 says, "The king spake," this is King Nebuchadnezzar, "the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee." Everything that came out of his mouth was, everything I've done. And the Lord said, you're about to lose it all. Verse 32, "And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as the oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? Do you know who he's talking about right there? The Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 36 says, At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. Do you know who the King of heaven is? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is King, and bow to him we must. Great is he. Great is he. Those wise men, they came from a far country, and they fell down before him, saying, We came to see the one who was born king, Christ the Lord. And right here in verse 37, Nebuchadnezzar said, I now praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Nebuchadnezzar said, Oh, I promise you, he knows how to abase. He is able to abase. Now let me show you the first time the two words, the Lord, are used in the Scripture. The very first time. If you'll look with me at Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, verse 4 says, These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. The Lord God. John chapter 1 says, Jesus Christ made the earth and the heavens. And without him was not anything made that was made. In the beginning was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was with God because Jesus Christ was God. Is God. The Lord God. He said in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. And the Lord Jesus Christ was made flesh, and he dwelt among us. The Lord God came in time, made flesh, and he dwelt among us. That's important to know. If we're going to know who God is, we must know that. The Lord of the Old Testament is the same Lord of the New Testament. They're not two lords. The Lord of the year 33 AD is the same Lord of the year 2016. And this same Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, he says he's coming back. And this time he will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel, the declaration of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Moses said, The Lord is a man of war. Oh, we need to know who we're dealing with. We need to know who we're going to meet. We need to know who is returning. A man of war is returning. And he's worthy to be feared. He is worthy to be feared. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But do you know what our text says? Psalm 126, verse 3. It says, "The Lord hath done great things for us." Who has? The Lord Himself has. The Lord Himself. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1, the Lord Himself said this, "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." Thou art mine. What does that mean exactly? It means the Lord hath done great things for us. That's what it means. Every work of the Lord that He has done for His people is a finished work. He hath done. The Lord hath done. Not will do. He is not trying to do. He does not hope to do. He is not working towards anything. The Lord hath done. Acts 15:18 says, "Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world." And as soon as those works were purposed in His heart, they were done. They were done. The Lord has not left one work unfinished. Not one work. People say, He takes the first step, you take the second. No, all the steps have been taken. All the steps have been taken. The Lord has no hands but your hands. That's not true. It was the Lord's hands that formed mine and your hands. And He hasn't left one work undone. Not one work. There are no loose ends with Him. Even though He has yet to return and gather His elect to Himself, Ephesians 2 says they're already seated in heavenly places in Him. Already. Look with me over at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." That's all past tense. It's all past tense. Verse 30 says, "Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified." Every bit of that is past tense. Somebody might say, "Well, one day He's going to glorify His people." No. He already has glorified His people. When Christ was glorified, all His people were glorified. They were glorified in Him. The Lord hath done great things. Great things. He has done such great things for such unworthy people. Such backbiting, gainsaying, unthankful, rebellious people. David kept saying in the Psalms, "The Lord is good. Oh, He's so good." And the reason is because His mercy endureth forever. We need mercy. That's what he's saying. We're such a people who needs mercy. And the Lord is so good because His mercy endureth forever. It never ends. He said it's brand new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. Great. Look with me over at Matthew 11. In Matthew 11, verse 1 says, "It came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding His 12 disciples, He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. He said, The blind receive their sight. Those who could not see God." And that's all of us. Man by nature cannot see God. The way that we are born into this world, into this flesh, in our sin, we cannot see God. We've been severed, separated from God. Those who could not see God, and those who could not see themselves for what they are. And that's all of us by nature. We cannot see truly what we are. We have no concept truly of the sin that we are. Sins are not just what we do. Sin is what we are. It's what we are. But by the hand of the Lord, those who could not see have received the eyes of faith. And like the song Amazing Grace said, I once was blind, but now I see. I see God. I see God. Not the God that I've imagined in my mind, the God as He has declared Himself to be in His Word. And I see man. Not the man, the way man perceives himself to be. I see man the way he is, the way God has declared him to be in His Word. And I see Christ. Oh, do I see Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and man, the Savior, the Redeemer. The blind receive their sight. Verse 5, He said, the lame walk, those who could not come to Christ. If a man's going to be saved, he has to come to Christ. But do you know that no man can? The way we are naturally, we're lame. The way we are spiritually, we're lame. We cannot walk. But those who could not come to Christ have been made able by His grace to walk straight up to the throne of His grace. Yeah, that's a great thing. You know that? That's a great thing. Verse 5 says, the lepers are cleansed. Those with rotting, defiled flesh have been made white as snow. Spotless. How? The Lord did it. That's how. He washed them in His own blood. Sin has ruined us. It has physically ruined us, not just spiritually. We're dying. We're aging. We're wrinkling. We're spotting. We're rotting. But in the blood of Christ, we've been made white as snow, spotless, clean, perfect. Verse 5 says, the deaf hear. They hear the most beautiful sound that could ever enter the heart. They hear with their heart. Those who could not hear before hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, He moves and they hear. What does He say? What does He say to their heart through His Word? This is what He says. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. That's a great thing. Oh, that's a great thing. Verse 5 says, the dead are raised up. Those who are born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, he raises them up to eternal life. Eternal life in Jesus Christ, eternal life with Jesus Christ the Lord. Verse 5 says, and the poor have the gospel. The declaration, this beautiful, wonderful declaration preached to them. Great things. Great things. The Lord hath done great things for us. Well, wait a minute now. Are you saying that he didn't do this for everybody? When you say he hath done great things for us, does that mean that he didn't do this for everybody? That's exactly what it means. Christ has not done great things for everybody. His word declares that he did it for us. He did it for his chosen. He did it for the ones he set his affection on. The ones his Father gave to him. He said, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. David said, us. Well, if that's the case, I have a question that I need answered. And if you are truly concerned about this, I would imagine you have the same question. How can I know if I'm an us? Who are the us? Wouldn't you like to know if you're an us? If he only did this for the us, here's what I want to know. Am I included in this? Did he do it for me? How can I know if I'm one of the us? If you would like the answer to that, turn with me to Romans 5. I would strongly encourage you to get a Bible and open it with me, and let's look at these two verses of Scripture together. Romans chapter 5, verse 7. It says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Who are the us? God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In order to be an us, you have to be a sinner. It's the only requirement to be an us. Christ came to save sinners. Sinners. A true sinner is so hard to find. But do you know what the Apostle Paul said? He said, I'm the chief. I'm the chief. And every sinner who has been given eyes to see that that's who Christ came to save, every sinner who sees that cries, no, I'm the chief. I am. If that's who he came to save, then I acknowledge I'm the chief. Now, if you're not a sinner, then you're not an us. But every sinner who has been given ears to hear that Christ came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, every one of them cries, call me. call me, Lord, save me. I'm the greatest sinner I know. I truly am the greatest sinner I know. Well, sinners, every sinner who is listening right now, if you're a sinner, I know they're very hard to find. They're very rare. But if you're a sinner listening to this right now, this is the only gospel that there is to declare. The Lord hath done great things for us. He has done great, great things for us. Just listen to this in 1 Samuel chapter 12. This is so wonderful. 1 Samuel 12, verse 20. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not. You have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should you go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people. It pleased the Lord to make you His people. If you are a sinner, you're in us. Every true sinner who cries to God Almighty, I'm a sinner. I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. He said, you fear not. Even though you've done all this wickedness, it pleased the Lord to make you His people. Now, how do we respond to that? How do we respond to such good news, such great things? Back in our text, David responded for us. He said in Psalm 126, verse 3, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. We're glad. The declaration of the gospel makes sinners glad. It does not make them want to sin more. It does not make them lawless. Not at all. It makes them glad. Hearing about everything that Christ has done, all that He has accomplished by Himself, not with me. I can't help Him at all. All I've done is ruin it. But He accomplished it by Himself. And that sure doesn't produce pride in a sinner. How can it? Christ did it all. Religion wants people to walk around with such pride, but saved sinners are not that way. Seeing what we truly are by nature, that won't produce a self-righteousness. It produces a humility. It produces a thankfulness. And it produces a happiness in the righteousness of Christ. Oh, we're so thankful for His righteousness. And it makes us want to run and tell everybody we can, the good news. It makes us want to repeat the declaration one more time. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Until next Sunday morning, may our Lord bless His word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.